And good morning. Welcome into the MRMC Doctor's Office program as part of Quick's Land this morning. Phyllis Pryor is with us, a behavioral health nurse practitioner. We're talking about a little bit about the holiday blues today. And Phyllis, before we go any further, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in behavioral health and becoming a nurse practitioner.
Well, do you want the long story or the shorter version?
Okay, give me the long story. I've got plenty of time.
Well, actually, I've been a nurse since the 1970s, and I've always been interested in psychiatric nursing and mental health. However, before I was able to get into that as a specialty, I worked in several different areas of nursing, mostly in rural hospitals, but also in some of the larger health centers. And a few years ago, our family went through a tragic loss, and I was trying to figure out some way to justify my being here when a family member was taken from us so soon and seemed so unfair. And I remember things that he used to say about, I wish I could just talk to somebody, and I wish somebody would listen. So after he passed, I was trying to figure out, you know, what do you do with the rest of your life? And I kept hearing him say, I just wish somebody would listen. So that was really the impetus to get me to go back to school and finish my master's in psychiatric mental health nursing. So that's what I intend to do, is to provide a listening and caring ear for those people who have a burden that maybe they'd like to share.
Did you find, too, you were already doing a lot of this stuff as a nurse anyway? Because I know nurses are hands-on, but ears-on, too.
Absolutely. I think that every nurse is a psychiatric nurse in some fashion. They just don't consider themselves to be a psych nurse. But I think whenever you're an OB nurse and you're comforting a mom in labor who's frightened, you're being a psychiatric nurse because you're sensing her situation and you're helping her with that. If you're a hospice nurse and you're dealing with a family who's about to part with a loved one, you're doing psychiatric nursing because you're picking up on their sadness and their grief and they're giving them support. So I've probably left out many specialties, but I think that every area of healthcare has a component of psychiatric nursing. Maybe not dealing with psychosis and the very severe mental illnesses, but nevertheless, psychiatric nursing is simply listening to people and meeting them where they are, and you can do that anywhere as a nurse.
Do doctors have that role too? Do they need to help out along those lines?
They do, and I think often they do an excellent job with it, but I think their training is lots more toward the identifying an illness and targeting the symptoms for that. And so they're more of a diagnostic component. And nurses tend to have the opportunity to spend more time with their patients. For instance, I'm usually on the unit 8 hours a day, and maybe a psychiatrist or another physician making hospital rounds would only have a few minutes. So I think nurses can pick up on a little bit more of what's going on with the patient simply because of the time that they have usually allotted to them to spend with them.
All right. And by the way, if you have a question for Phyllis, we're talking holiday blues a little bit today, 263-2424 or 800-892-2300, the number. So what's a typical day like for you then?
Well, in the hospital, I usually come in and make rounds, chat with all my patients. If I have a new admission, then I sit down and talk with them, find out what brought them here, try to understand as much about their situation as I can, and we try to then develop some strategy to help them deal with that issue. My purpose is usually finding a medication that would help mitigate some of the symptoms that they're experiencing. But I work with a team here in the hospital, and so I have social workers, occupational therapy, physical therapy, who did I leave out? Nurses. And so we have a team that can come together and provide a pretty holistic approach to the mental health care. So I'm not a solo person at all. I've got a team that helps me.
Yeah, how important is it, Phyllis, for mental health to be that cooperative effort?
Well, I think it's extremely important because we all look at things from a little different perspective, and where I may be looking at a medication perspective, how can I help manage a medication, then an occupational therapist may be picking up on someone's disability and the problem that they are having with mobility, for instance. So I can't help much with the mobility, but that may be causing some depression for someone. So the physical therapist or occupational therapist can step in and help fill in that gap that I can't. Same with the nurses. They have more time to spend with their patients than I do necessarily, so they can fill in some blanks that I wouldn't have access to. So it takes a team for us to do a good job.
I got to ask you, I was kidding with you before we started. You know my friend Becky Beatty. Do you two work well together?
Well, I like to think we do. I don't know what Becky would say, but yes, I think we work very well together.
Is there a difference, Phyllis, between someone just feeling blah and a genuine problem?
Yes, especially around the holidays. I think we talk about the holiday blues, and those can come from a variety of reasons, but usually they're temporary. They start around the middle of maybe around Thanksgiving and kind of peak out around Christmas time. And it's lots of stress-related issues, but it usually goes away after the holidays, unless you've maxed out your credit card and then you're still stressed because now you have to pay for your overindulgences.
But you need to be a comedian when you're done here. That's awesome. So true, though.
True. There is a difference. Now, there is some people equate holiday blues with a condition we call seasonal affective disorder. And seasonal affective disorder, SAD for short, it's more severe and more serious than the holiday blues, for instance. The people who suffer with seasonal depression will typically have depressive cycles that occur around a particular season, usually starts in the fall, runs through until the spring. And sometimes it can become serious enough that it requires medication intervention if some of the home remedies such as artificial lighting, vitamin D supplements, if those don't help, then it can be serious enough that you need to have professional help.
All right. Do these shorter days affect people? And shorter days isn't right. Shorter periods when there's light.
Sunlight. Well, there's some studies that say that yes. And they base that belief on the fact that we have shorter days and less exposure to sunlight, which has an ability to decrease the amount of vitamin D that you have in your system. So sometimes some practitioners will even advise having vitamin D levels measured, and if they're very low, then treating the depressive symptoms with vitamin D, and that sometimes can carry people over until the sunlight starts again. But yes, there seems to be a definite component in sunlight exposure in mental health.
All right. Is it important to get outdoors a little bit, even during this winter time?
As much as you can, because again, sunlight exposure is very important to helping regulate the neurochemicals in the brain. People who have who tan a lot, people who have naturally dark skin, sometimes have more of a tendency to have problems with seasonal affective disorder because the days are shorter, there's less exposure to sunlight, but also they have less ability to pick up the sun rays because of their complexion.
All right. And can this time of the year be especially tough on folks when they've had losses during the holiday period?
Yes, the holidays seem to just bring such a multitude of symptoms, but especially when you're dealing with memories of lost people. Maybe if it's been recent, your grieving process may still be pretty early. And the feeling that you're supposed to be happy at the holiday time, when really inside your heart you feel very sad, but you feel like that you have to put on a front and say what people expect you to say, not what you really feel. So it's important that when you're dealing with sadness and loss around holiday times that you be genuine about your feelings. Tell someone how you feel. And you don't have to be a hero. It's not bad to shed a tear or two. And reaching out for help during those periods of time when you feel particularly sad is very, very wise and very healthy to do.
I was about to say, what is the best way to handle these holiday blues from person who's suffering from it and the person who is there experiencing it with them?
Say that again.
If you say, for instance, you're suffering from the holiday blues, mm-hmm. What's the best thing for you to do, and what's the best thing for me to do as someone who's there living life with you?
Well, it would be important for me to tell you how I feel, because if I just close my feelings in and don't tell you how I'm feeling, you may wonder, well, Phyllis, why are you so quiet? Or why are you isolating? Why aren't you talking? You don't seem like yourself. And so it would be up to me to reach out and tell someone that I need help. And as far as you being a comforter or support person, would be there to listen. And you don't have to be objective. You don't really have to give advice. Just listen. and validate. You know, if I say I'm really feeling sad and blue, then you could say, well, I understand it's a difficult time for you, that sort of thing. So as a support person, you don't have to be a professional. You can just be a friend.
Yeah, is it important for the person who's there to assist that person with the blues to realize that you don't have to give them all the answers, just listen?
I think it's very important to have someone to listen. And sometimes I think one of the worst things that we can do when we intend to help is to advise and say, oh, I don't know why you're so depressed. You just need to get over it. Well, if it were that easy, would any of us be depressed? Of course not. We would get over it. So being supportive and kind, validating their feelings, saying, or if someone says they're dealing with a loss that you've never experienced, maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of your mom. Well, your mom is still living. So the person who's grieving they may feel like they're in a situation that's unique only to them. It's my mom that's gone. What can I as a friend say? Well, Bob, I understand that your mom's passed. I am fortunate enough to still have my mom with me, and I really can't imagine what your loss is like, but I understand that it's painful, and I'm here with you.
How many times, and you brought up a great point that I heard someone talk about the other day, how common is it for someone to say, just get over it, move on, it's not that bad, just deal with it?
Well, I don't think it's as bad as it used to be. I think that there's more of a recognition of mental health issues now, and there's less stigma about it. However, the stigma still persists, and there's still people suffer from being judged all the time by, oh, they're just a weak person, they're lazy, they don't want to get up and do anything, they're just a couch potato. And the tendency for people to sometimes make the faulty assumptions, it still exists.
And really, a lot of times that can be someone who we tend to hold in high esteem, can it? Someone in a position of power, we tend to forget they've got concerns too.
Mm-hmm. It can very well be. Some people in higher power or higher positions sometimes suffer from that sense of responsibility that I have to hold it together. I can't admit how I feel because other people are looking to me to be the strong person. And that's really faulty thinking, and it puts too much responsibility on you as an individual. You're really kind of shooting yourself in the foot by not being authentic about your feelings.
All right, Phyllis Pryor with us, behavioral health nurse practitioner on the MRMC Doctor's Office program. How do we know when it's at the point where we need to be seen professionally? Is there a point, or if you have any question at all, go and get looked at?
Again, knowing yourself and your own feelings. If you feel like that, you notice that things that you used to enjoy doing just don't have any appeal anymore. The technical word for that is called anhedonia. And sometimes when I get upset, I tell people that I'm traveling through anhedonia. It sounds like a country in a far continent. But anyway, loss of interest and pleasure in things that you would normally enjoy doing. Change in your appetite, can't sleep or oversleep. Feelings of maybe just flitting thoughts of maybe just be better if I weren't here. Would anybody miss me if I'm gone? Those sorts of things. And those are the signals that you need to start getting help, because one or two of those symptoms may not be so bad, but if you have an accumulation of them, that's a sign to you that you need to start thinking about getting some professional help. And then, of course, if you develop suicidal thoughts and they don't go away, you start making some plans about, well, this is how I could do this, and this is what I might do. And so the more degree of lethality in your thinking would certainly be more of an indication that you need to get help. If you are a family member or a friend and you notice these symptoms occurring in someone you're observing, by all means, speak up and try to encourage them to get help, because sometimes they'll deny the need to get help. So if you can support them and encourage them in that direction, it's definitely something that a friend would do.
Phyllis, if someone makes a comment like you just made under their breath, maybe this place would be better off without me, if I'm someone hearing that, do I take that seriously, or do I just brush it off saying, oh, they're just kidding?
Well, that's a tough question, because you don't want to overinterpret the comment the person made, because it might have just been a comment made in frustration and they don't really mean it. if they were to say something like that, you could say, you're talking about feeling that you might be better off gone, or the world might be better off without you. Well, then ask them, see if you can get them to elaborate a little bit more about that. And then if you're still uncomfortable about it, start urging them to get some mental health treatment. Because as a family member or a friend, you don't ever want to take on the burden of responsibility that you failed to help someone. So I think acting in a conservative fashion or a proactive fashion to get someone help would be the most would be the best advice I could suggest.
So, Phyllis, what are the options out there for you as far as treatment of someone who's got mental health or who has the holiday blues?
Well, if we're just talking about holiday blues and they pass, that's one thing. If they are severe and they're feeling suicidal and that seems to be a significant concern, then definitely seek professional help. Through professional help, there are options for medication management to help relieve the depressive symptoms. There's therapy, where there's a variety of therapies that are helpful to treat depression. And I think the studies are telling us now that medication helps depression, therapy helps depression, but the two combined is really the most effective to treat a depressive disorder.
Is medication the last option? Or are they integral?
I think they're integral. You can start with medications. Sometimes when I see people, perhaps in the office setting, and they haven't had therapy, I'll talk to them about, we could start with some medication, and then I would suggest that you include some therapy at some point.
All right. How important is it to involve the whole family, too, when you're talking about dealing with issues like this?
Well, some patients are very closed. We call them a closed system, and they don't really want anyone to know about how they feel. But it's really, in my opinion, it's better if the patient will consent to include the whole family, because depression or any form of mental illness doesn't affect just the patient themselves. It affects their family network and their friends.
So and I'm trying to find something on here I wanted to share with you that would kind of give us a good chuckle as we're going to wrap up here in just a couple moments. If you've got a family member who's suffering from the holiday blues and they're a part of your family and your holiday plans, how do you incorporate them and make them feel welcome?
I think that we would, to include them, to make them, to the best that we can, make sure that they understand that they're welcome, that they're loved, that we care about them, and the holiday is not going to be the same without them.
Do you force someone, though, to come out of their room, turn off the TV, whatever, and participate, or do you just let them be?
I'd make sure that they knew that they were invited, but I wouldn't force the issue.
Can you go too far in trying to push someone?
I suppose you could in a way, because some people they tend to like to be loners anyway. And if you push them too much, they may become more resistive, and you may fight a losing battle if you try to over-encourage or get into someone's space too much.
All right. So what do the holiday plans hold for you then?
For my holiday plans?
Yeah.
Well, being a new person at Marbley Regional, I drew the straw of being on call for so I'll be spending a few hours in the hospital, then, and that's fine, because healthcare, nursing care goes on 24/7. And then besides that, I have some wonderful kids and grandkids, and we'll all be doing things together. So,
is it important to spend time with family over the holidays?
If you can. I think one of the reasons that people sometimes feel depressed is that their family members have maybe passed, or they're out of they're at a distance that it's they're unable to travel, so they can't be together at holiday times. But I think as much as you can, spend time with your family. Although spending time with family sometimes can create some problems if you don't get along well with families. It can be kind of stressful to deal with Aunt Maud and Uncle Bill when you don't really like them. But here they come with their fruitcake. Then you know.
Now wait a minute. I like fruitcake. You're treading on holy territory here.
Well, I like it too. I never understood what that was such a big deal about. But,
All right. The joke, and it may not be funny. The joke I was trying to find for you, someone put a message out there. You know how all this stuff is being banned now because it's offending people?
Uh-huh.
The song "Do You Hear What I Hear" is being banned now because it offends someone with schizophrenia. But anyway. Okay, so where do we see the holiday blues going in the future? Is there any way to, you know, someone's going to have them to help them leading up to the holidays?
Well, some things that I would suggest, and I looked at several different resources to say, what is this holiday blues and how do we fix it or how do we prevent it? The holidays tend to be very stressful. You have a lot of financial pressures, scheduling pressures. You can name it, goes on and on and on. But I think if you can look at, start planning early so that if you've got 25 people to buy for, start in July and make some plans so that you have, that you're organized. If you feel that you are going to have some financial distress, then budget yourself. Don't let the commercialization and the ideas that you need to buy everything that's blinking and twinkling. You don't have to buy those things. The marketing people want you to, but you don't have to.
And avoid the cereal aisle, please.
Yes.
Do you also have to realize you can't be everywhere?
You can't be everywhere, and you have to decide, where am I going to go and what's the most important? You don't have to go to every office party. You don't have to go to every party on the block, and you don't have to host a big banquet where you're going to fix 25 dishes on your own. You can spread that out and get somebody to help you.
And by the way, it's okay to serve potato chips, isn't it, or something simple like that?
Sure. Just get some good dip to go with it.
No, chips are fine. I like the way she's thinking. But is it also important to make people aware there's nothing to be ashamed about here if you get depressed during the holidays? It's okay.
It's okay. It's, in fact, during the holidays or any other time, acknowledging that your brain is a body organ itself and it can get sick and not function as well as any other system. People don't get all excited about having diabetes and your blood sugar getting high or low. That's just part of being diabetic. We don't think too much about it. We don't stigmatize that. On the other hand, if someone gets depressed, there's still that tendency to make judgments about that. So it's okay to say how you feel and what's going on.
And we got about a minute left. More and more attention is being given to people's mental health. I know Senator Blunt has been talking an awful lot about that. Is that a good thing that people are now realizing, hey, this is okay to talk about?
Yes, absolutely. I think unspoken problems, when people aren't dealing realistically with their emotional feelings, sometimes can lead to another problem and another problem and another problem. And by the time, if they put off getting treatment, by the time they finally do get to treatment, we have layers of issues that we have to uncover and try to backtrack and find out what's the source of this problem and kind of start there and then work our way back to the present. Right. So I'm glad to see that emphasis on an increased understanding of mental health issues.
All right, Phyllis, we got about half a minute left. If you were going to talk to someone who realizes they're suffering from some of the holiday blues right now, what would you tell them to do?
I would tell them to talk to friends, to not be alone, to seek medical help or professional help. If you are feeling intensely suicidal or that you feel like you just can't go on, then go to the emergency department. The emergency department and in your nearest hospital will either provide services to you or help you get to the services that you need.
All right. Hey, Phyllis, thanks so much for being with us today. And Lee did a great job, too, didn't she?
She did.
She was awesome. All right. That's going to wrap up the MRMC Doctor's Office program for today.